103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Max FM, maximum hits. Max FM.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, church. It is good to be here together on this lovely Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning. We have some extra special guests today. I think some more Brickles than we usually have. The Noltner clan are filling the house, which is lovely. Because today, we have confirmation. Be very excited that it's coming up in a little bit. We also have combined today with our Holy Humor Sunday, which is going to fit better than you might think right now. A few announcements before we get started. Deb Schutte is our greeter this morning, and Tamara Straub is our liturgist. Our radio sponsor is Anonymous in honor of Deb's birthday. I think there's another birthday in the house today as well. Is that right? Hey, this is a nice birthday surprise for you. If anyone wants to sponsor a radio broadcast, that is $90 a week, and we have some faithful radio listeners. Our communion table is open to everyone. Jesus let all kinds of riffraff at his table, so we do the same. And we are all kinds of riffraff. Some landscaping and flowers are going in. You've seen some already. That will continue. So there's a fund if you want to donate toward that. June 15th, we have Perfect Harmony, a men's singing group from Madison, joining us, and they'll do some special music during the service. And then after the service, we will have our first Pride in the Park picnic, 11 a.m., and we're doing this with Concordia Methodist Church, which is also open and affirming, or their version. Is it their version of open and affirming? Let's see. This is on. Is it? We'll figure that out. Well, we'll see. There it is. Maybe I just needed to stand closer. So, June 15th, Pride in the Park potluck. It will be fun. And I know that's Father's Day, so come to church and celebrate, and then have a little Pride in the Park potluck, and then go take care of your dads after that. And that's all I have right now. So welcome, if you haven't been here for a while, or if you were just here, welcome to the little kiddos and the all-the-way-grown-up people. Welcome if you grew up in this church and you were confirmed here. Welcome if you're new here. Welcome, everyone. It is good to be together, no matter who you love, however you identify, whatever your gifts, whatever your background. You are welcome here. Now let's take a few moments of silence to come into this holy time, this holy space, and this holy company, knowing that God is with us.
O great laughing God, we thank you that you have given to us the gift of laughter and delight.
These things we advance as the nature of your purpose for us and for all the earth.
May we find that in lifting up our laughter there is healing and hope and abundance and blessings.
Tickle our souls with the brush of your spirit to renew our worship and our living. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn is Lord of the Dance. It is on the screen and in your insert in the bulletin. Please stand.
Thank you.
Now join me in our prayer of unburdening. You know better than we do, amused God, how seriously we take ourselves. Believing we have to be busy all the time, we miss out on the joy of your creation. Clinging to things of this world, we ignore Jesus, who leads us home to you. Forgive us, heart of joy, and make us open to the startling and upside-down ways in which you work. Fill us with Easter laughter. Fill us with healing joy. Fill us with love. And hear this assurance of God's grace and God's mercy. The Gospels tell us over and over again of the joy which comes to us through Christ. When Jesus was around, lives were changed. The sick were healed. The sorrowful began to laugh with joy. The good news is that this joy is now given to us, for which we all say, You're up. All right, I want to invite Nettie and Callista forward. Time for your speeches. Okay. Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. Maddie and Callista have found nurture and support in the midst of this family of Christ. They have been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm their baptism and to claim in our presence covenantal relationship with Christ and with this church. They are here for service to Christ, using the many gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to each of them. Hear these words from Jesus. I am the vine and you are the branches. Anyone who abides in me and I in that person is the one who bears much fruit. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. So now I have a few questions for each of you. You can answer together, really. Just say yes or I do. You don't have to give a real speech. Do you want to affirm your baptism into the faith and family of Jesus?
Yes.
Do you renounce all powers of evil and desire freedom of new life in Christ?
Yes.
Do you profess Jesus Christ as our friend, our teacher, our Lord, our Savior?
Yes.
Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of the Savior, resist oppression and evil, show love and justice, witness the work and word of Jesus as best as you are able?
Yes.
Do you promise, according to the grace given to you each, to grow in the Christian faith and to be faithful members of this church, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering his mission in the world?
Yes.
These are all the right answers thus far. And will the congregation please stand as you are able? Let us unite with the church in all times and in all places by confessing our faith in God. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Do you believe in Christ?
Yes.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
You may sit. Let us pray. Almighty God, who in baptism received these children, all of us, your children, into the church, forgave their sins, promised everlasting life. Increase in them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Grant love for others, joy in serving you, peace in disagreement, patience in suffering, kindness toward all people, goodness in evil times, faithfulness in temptation, gentleness in opposition. Strengthen them for their ministry in the world through Christ our Savior. Amen.
I'll take that. Thank you. Parents, would you like to come up? Families? Whoever wants to gather around, each of you. Yeah, come on up. Would you each kneel? It's okay if you don't. The God of peace sanctify you. I pray that you will faithfully keep your vows. God will preserve you through your whole life. And Maddie. Holy God, strengthen her in your grace, that she may be yours forever and ever, and daily increase in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Will everyone hold out a hand to help bless these young women? We rejoice, O merciful God, with Callista, with Maddie, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit's power to awaken us to new truth, to inspire us to venture into the fullness of life. We give you thanks that they each have been moved to affirm their baptism. Help them to live, not for themselves, but for Christ, for those Christ loves. Keep them steady. Keep them abounding in hope. Keep them deeply rooted in their own precious gifts, deeply rooted in love of God, of their neighbors, of themselves. May they never give up, pressing always toward life with you in Christ. Amen. You may stand. I know, it's a little awkward. By your baptism, you were made one with us in the body of Christ, the church, and today we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time, this day, this place. We celebrate your presence in this household of faith. So let all of us, the members of Sauk City United Church of Christ, express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. Not yet. No, you got to stay here a little longer. And we, your community, promise to you continued friendship and prayer as we share the hopes and labors of the church. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's love, in knowledge, and to be witnesses of resurrection and hope. Amen. On behalf of the church, I welcome you. One more prayer. You can't overdo prayer. All right. Almighty, ever-living God, may your hand be ever with your servants, confirmed today. May the Holy Spirit be ever with them. Lead them in knowledge and love, that they may serve you in this life and dwell with you in the life to come. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. You may go sit down, and will our confirmand stay up here? Ha ha. And now it's our kids' time. Will our kids come up? I know. See, you're never too old for kids' time, but you can sit down with us. Yes?
As you heard, this is the end of our Sunday school year, and we are celebrating today with ice cream. You have coffee hour, so when you can treat the coffee hour, you're welcome to join us. We will be in the basement of the Ed Building. We'll be happy to see your smiling faces. As a closure, I also wanted to tell you that we met our goal for our Mabel's Building mission. It was $2,000.
Yay!
It was the first time, one time that we made it and didn't have to extend the collection. We actually have $2,300. Which I will put the exact total in the scoop because sometimes by the time it goes through the offering and I get it, there's a little lag in time. So it will be in the scoop for the final total. We have had a wonderful year. Thank you for your support. And we took this great journey every Sunday learning Bible stories. And I just want to remind everybody that the journey doesn't end here.
Yes. Going to make Margaret cry.
Tears of joy.
Yes. So it was a little hard to read, but I put this one in anyway. The last one, I guess. It said, it's two young people talking to the pastor, and they say, "Hey, pastor, confirmation means that now we only have to come on Christmas and Easter, right?" Confirmation does not mean that. Confirmation means that you are full members of the church with all the voting and everything else. So, to the younger kids, these big girls were confirmed today. Most of you were baptized when you were little, probably. If not, that's okay. And you still could be if you wanted, or if your parents want some time. Confirmation means that even though you were baptized when you were little and you didn't really have a choice and you probably don't remember it because your parents brought you and someone like me splashed water on you and you might have cried because that's not uncommon at a baptism because somebody's splashing water on you and you're in front of everybody and it's weird. Confirmation means that you've grown up and you've gone through Sunday school and you've gone through confirmation classes and you're ready to be a full grown-up in faith, as much as any of us are. I'm still learning. We're all still learning. Confirmation is not the end of that. It is a beginning. So may you all continue to learn, to continue to grow in faith. And in wisdom, may you ask really good questions of yourselves, of everyone around you, of God. So bless all these kids and the young adults in our lives and in our hearts. In God's many names we pray. Amen. All right, the littles can go to Sunday school now. With Margaret for ice cream, and you get to stay with us, although you could probably have some ice cream too. But coffee hour is pretty good as well. Thank you.
From the Now Testament, Paul Tillich. Is our lack of joy due to the fact that we are Christians or to the fact that we are not sufficiently Christian? Are not many Christians surrounded by an air of heaviness, of oppressive sternness, of lack of humor and irony about themselves? We cannot deny this. Our critics outside the church are right. And we ourselves should be even more critical than they, critical on a deeper level. Our first reading is from Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst. A warrior who gives victory, he will rejoice over you with gladness, will renew you in love, will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival.
Thank you, Tamara. And our gospel reading today is from John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a while longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Jesus was not speaking to children at that time. When he said little children, he meant all of us, everyone, those who follow. And in the Gospel of John, when he says the Jews, he means religious leadership who were, some might say, a little pompous, overly concerned with their own station, puffed up. So today we are celebrating Holy Humor Sunday. It's our first time. We'll see how it goes. It'll be great. The great theologian Karl Barth said that humor, joy in this world, is always in spite of something. And in its way, humor is a great act of resistance. Imagine the Roman Empire, which took itself very seriously. And then Christians laughing in the face of oppression and persecution. They were supposed to cower. They were supposed to be afraid and filled with dread and awe. And instead, they continued to laugh and to find joy. They were supposed to be intimidated. So this idea of a humor Sunday is actually very ancient. It was in the earliest church. The theology is such that the idea that God played a great joke on evil and death, just when they thought they won, Jesus pops back up and says, surprise, not. This used to be called Bright Sunday. It was always during Easter season, and all sorts of silliness and dressing up in funny clothes, which you can do for next year. Splashing the pastor with a big jug of water, which you cannot do next year. Jesus died and then came back. Death was not the last word. Joy is divine. Joy is a great, mysterious gift that comes from God. The descriptions of heaven in Scripture are metaphors, but a place of joy, a place where every tear is wiped away. C.S. Lewis said that joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. It is the surprise when we discover how great and outlandish God's love is. Paul wrote about joy. He wrote, "Rejoice always." And he wrote that from prison. Teresa of Avila prayed for God to deliver us from sour-faced saints. And there are a few. We believe that Jesus was fully human as well as divine. Being human means to laugh, to make jokes. And Jesus did do that. We often don't recognize them because humor is so contextual. It's hard to recognize 2,000 years later. And it's partly because we think Scripture is Scripture. It is serious. We're so familiar with it, we don't see the jokes, but they're there. Christ, instead of speaking in grand, eloquent truths, spoke in stories and parables, and he said ridiculous things. The last shall be first. He spoke in silly images. Faith is like a mustard seed. What the hell, Jesus? He said, look at the log in your own eye before worrying about the speck in your neighbor's eye. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich person to go to heaven. Someone says to him, on meeting him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he says, true that. I want to be friends with you. We know that God is love. God is a lot of things, and no words are adequate, but God is love is the best description, and love means laughter. Do you have anyone that you really love with whom you cannot laugh? Love is joy. Think of those times when you feel like your heart might burst with love. There is laughter there too. The Bible says we are made in God's image and likeness, and that doesn't have to have happened on a particular day to be true. God laughs. God is within us and part of us, and God laughs. So laughter is part of human nature, and it is one of the really good parts. That first Easter was a day of surprise. Jesus had been executed. All hope was gone. Everything shattered. The disciples all fled except for the women. And imagine that crushing disappointment. And then surprise of all surprises, he is back. And he said people didn't understand the freedom he would bring. Surprise rests on willingness to take chances, to alter the order of things, to dream, to do something different. And nobody did that more than Jesus. Jürgen Moltmann, another great theologian, wrote, "The laughter of the universe is God's delight. It is the universal Easter laughter in heaven and earth." So I hope that holy humor doesn't seem inappropriate, because it entirely is. Amen. And now we have a time for you to come up and tell some jokes. Please do. I know some of you have prepared some. I also have a little basket of them if anyone would like to draw a joke. All right, come on up. Tim?
I took it out.
Oh, come on.
I'll take the basket.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, want the microphone too? Oh, Larry has one too. Yeah.
I got two.
Oh, good.
One's about golf.
Jesus Christ, Moses, and an old bearded guy were playing golf. And on the first tee, Moses shanked his ball into a lake. He parted the water and hit his ball onto the green. Then Jesus teed off, hitting his ball into another water hazard, but he walked on the water and stroked his ball just short of the cup. Then the old man with the beard stepped up for his first tee shot. He hit the ball with tremendous force, but hooked it badly. The ball bounced off the clubhouse roof, hit the cart path, rolled down a hill into a pond. Coming to rest on a lily pad, and then a frog swam over and picked up the ball. An eagle swooped down, snatched up the frog, flew over the green, and the frog dropped the ball, and it rolled into the cup for a hole in one. Moses turned to Jesus and said, "I hate playing golf with your dad." And then I have another one it's reportedly George Burns said this. The secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and to have the two as close as possible.
Pastor Jennifer was talking to the kids during children's time. What did Jesus do at Easter that makes the day so special? No one answered, so Pastor gave a hint. It starts with an R. One kid jumped up and proclaimed, "Recycle!"
It does sound a little like us.
The danger of leaving a microphone close to me gives me the opportunity to jump in right now. Back in the 60s, there was a church in Detroit, Michigan that unfortunately fell into some disrepair and was boarded up and did not see the light of day for decades. And as we know, Detroit has had somewhat of a rebirth, and there's some gentrification going on, and young couples are reclaiming the homes, and all of a sudden they decided that they should reopen this church. And so they took the boards down, and they went inside, and inside was the most magnificent organ you could even imagine. And it had been sitting there unused for 70, 80 years. And one of the church members sat down at the organ and turned it on, and it powered right up, and it worked. But unfortunately, all those years of sitting unused, it was terribly out of tune. And so they kind of investigated, and they saw that the organ had been built by a German gentleman by the name of Hermann Oppernachty. And Oppernachty left his business card in the bench, and it said Stuttgart, Germany. And so they wrote a letter to his address, and there was no response. And so finally, one of the church members who had to travel on business to Europe went to Stuttgart and looked up in the public records, and he found the address or the home where Oppernachty lived. And he went to the door, and this little old man came to the door, and fellow exclaimed that he was from the church in Detroit, Michigan, and the organ needed to be tuned. And we felt that since you built the organ in the first place and tuned it originally, you should be the one to come and do it. And the fellow slammed the door in his face. And the guy knocked on the door again, and the little old man came to the door and said, "Please, would you come and tune our organ?" And he says, "No." And he slammed the door, and the guy tried one more time, and the guy came to the door and he said, "Please, would you please tune our organ?" And Oppernachty said, "I'm sorry, Oppernachty only tunes once." Yeah, I was hoping there would get a groan somewhere out there.
greeting people at the door after Easter services, Pastor Linda was delighted to shake hands with one of the men who doesn't come so often, and even more delighted when he complimented her on her sermon and said, "Service was great." She asked, "Why didn't he come to church more often?" "I'm just following the Lord's example," he said. "If Christ can rise up early one Sunday a year, that's good enough for me too."
So everybody knows we're here every Sunday.
What car did apostles drive? Honda, because apostles were all in accord.
Shirley, and
so an Illinois man left the snow-filled streets of Chicago for a vacation in Florida. His wife was on a business trip and planning to meet him there the next day. When he reached his hotel, he decided to send his wife a quick email. Unable to find the scrap of paper on which he had written her email address, he did his best to type it from memory. Unfortunately, he missed one letter, and his note was directed instead to an elderly preacher's wife whose husband had just passed away only the day before. When the grieving widow checked her email, she took
one look at the monitor, let out a piercing scream, and fell to the floor in a dead faint. At the sound, her family rushed into the room and saw this note on the screen. "Dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything prepared for your arrival tomorrow. P.S. sure is hot down here."
There was this mother who had four sons, and her birthday was coming up. So the sons were looking at one another, were talking over what they should get their mother for the birthday. Now the first son said, "Well, you know, mother's been living in that old house all these years. It's big, it's old, it's crappy, needs work on it." Excuse me. "And I'm going to give mother a new house. That's going to be my gift for mother." The second son said, "Well, mother likes to go to the theater and watch movies. So I'm going to go down to the movie house, and I'm going to buy her a whole year supply of free movie tickets. So that anytime she wants to go in and see a movie, she can go in for free. That's going to be my gift." The third son said, "Well, mother's been driving that old car all these years. You know, it keeps breaking down. She forever has it in the shelf getting fixed. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to get mother a brand new car. That's going to be my gift." Now, the fourth son said, "Well, you know, mother likes to read the Bible. So I'm going to find for her a talking parrot. And I'm going to teach that parrot how to quote Bible verses. So that any time that mother wants to hear a Bible verse, all she has to do is she'll just go and ask the parrot." So he did, and he found a parrot. Anyway, and he worked day and night with that parrot to teach it how to quote Bible verses. And finally, he got that parrot to the point where all he had to say to it was, "John 3:16. And the parrot said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." "Well, that's fantastic. 23rd Psalm. And the parrot said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me." "Mother, this is great. Mother's going to love this gift. Anytime that she wants to hear a parrot, all she has to hear a Bible verse, all she has to do is go and ask the parrot." So anyway, her birthday came, and the sons presented their gifts to their mother. To the first son, she said, "Well, gee, that was very generous of you to buy me a new house. But son, you have to understand, your father and I bought this house when we first got married. Raised you four boys up in it. I have a lot of fond memories of this old house. This old house will last me the rest of my days." To the second son, she said, Well, it's very generous of you to buy me a whole year's supply of free movie tickets. But my eyes aren't very good anymore, and I stopped going to the theater. They're hard for me to see the screen. But thank you just the same. For the third son, he said, well, it's very generous of you to buy me a brand new car, but I gave up driving, and I sold that old wreck of a car I had. And so, but thank you just the same. Anyway, but to the fourth son, she said, you know, you always know what I like. You bought me nice things over the years. And I want you to know one simple thing. That even though it was a little small, the chicken was delicious.
Oh. All right. Time for maybe one more? Anybody else? Okay.
This is a new mic.
Thank you. And our hymn is God, or is Give to Us Laughter. It's in your insert, and also will be up here. The tune is Be Thou My Vision. So it's new words to an old tune. This one should be pretty easy. Us to share prayers with God and the community. Are there any prayers to share today?
Flowers. The flowers in the back of the altar from Dorothy Kuhnau's funeral. So we keep her family in our prayers. And also Carol Hangberger's son, Brian, passed away last week, so we keep her family in our prayers. And I have one joy. It's wonderful to see Gary Schlender here today. He's still recovering from his surgery.
Carol asked me to mention to all of you that the funeral for Brian will be here on Friday, May 23rd, at 10:15, with the visitation in the church beginning at 9:30, as well as Thursday evening at Hooverson's. So, again, we lift up their family in prayer.
I'd just like to welcome our two confirmands and to pray that they have good, loving lives.
Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers we hold in our hearts. Holy God, we pray for the family of Carol and Brian and Dorothy Kunau's family. And we are grateful to have Gary and Sandy with us today. And we are grateful for our wonderful confirmands. For all these prayers and the prayers we hold in our hearts, Holy God, we ask you to hear us today. And let us pray as Jesus taught us. Many of you know we've been using some different interpretations, different sort of, they're all translations.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Max FM. 99.7 Max FM.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening.
Good evening,
and welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. Glad to see you here. Special welcome to any guests or visitors that we have with us, and we ask whether you are a lifetime member or a first-time visitor of St. John's, please at some point this evening